And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Hope everybody's off to a good start on this Friday morning. And as always, we welcome your thoughts throughout the show. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Not great. Not great.
Not a great day on the show today. We didn't really know how this show was going to go. I mean, there's obviously last night a lot of stuff going around on social media about Wes Rucker. And, we didn't know if by the time we started the show today, what was actually going to be out there and reported rather than just what was being speculated on social media. But if you missed it last night, and if you're just waking up this morning, longtime reporter Wes Rucker, who if you've been around Tennessee athletics, I mean, good Lord, I was thinking about this last night, Joe. I mean, that he may have been like the first five people I interacted with on Twitter at one point when that all started. Like, if you've been around Tennessee athletics or followed Tennessee athletics for a long time, you know who Wes Rucker is. Friend of this show. He has passed away at the age of 43 with a car accident yesterday, and that was all over the place last night on social media, and that has since been confirmed and is now being thrown out there in terms of reporting. Adam Sparks has come out with a piece at the Knoxville News Sentinel, and a lot of stuff coming out this morning, so obviously, I mean, that is very, very tough news for someone that we knew, someone we had on this show, but more importantly to his family. It's just an awful situation. And frankly, like, it's hard to even really consider, like, opening talking about, let's just talk about sports. Let's talk about football and you know, the basketball game coming up this weekend and Wes Rucker passing away at the age of 43.
Yeah, it's just terrible. It's just terrible. And it's, you know, you it's also like, this is awful too. And it's like, how do you, you have these two things together, but you know, Jaden Bailey has passed away as well.
Yeah.
17-year-old Lebanon High School. We've talked about him before.
He did a story on him.
Tennessean did a story on him. A lot of people have sort of, have been around that situation. 17, like I said, osteosarcoma. I mean, just incredible. He got his left arm amputated. Kept playing. Was playing and playing well this year. So he has passed as well. It's a lot of tragedy, all at once. So I don't. Yeah, there's no roadmap for this. I mean, we've had shows before where things happen in the world and we sort of went off the beaten path. I don't really know how to handle it, but I'll say that Wes, I mean, like, I've been here 10 years. Like, he was the guy on that beat that he's just the dominant voice.
Yep.
You know, in that press box. And he's been covering him since 2000, which by my math means basically since he got to Tennessee as a freshman, right? And just such a great journalist and great person. And, Mike Wilson, also a good friend of ours, friend of the show, and some, you know, who I've known since he was in college up at Michigan State, got the job covering Tennessee. And so, you know, he was like, you know, hey, can we – you know, you introduced me to any people. So I, you know, came down to cover a game and I got some people together. And the first person I thought was, you know, he's got to get to know Wes, got to hang out with Wes. So Wes and Lauren came out the first time I met Lauren. And, you know, it's just, she's just a really great person. And,
yeah.
It's tough.
Yep. Very tough. And, you know, it's obviously there's so many people kind of weighing in on this online. And again, you know, we didn't know how this was going to go today in terms of what was officially going to be out there and what wasn't. And we've had Wes on the show several times. And, you know, one of the things that I guess is that's been a common talking point from all this, from, you know, people that are all over Vol Twitter. Like, you know, Wes, I think one of the, you know, I didn't know Wes personally. I don't know that I ever actually met Wes in person, but we had him on the show several times, and, you know, I'd have interacted with him on social media. And I think for Tennessee fans, like, you kind of felt like you knew him, right? Like, he was one thing about Wes is he was always willing to put his opinion out there, and he really didn't care what you thought about it. He interacted with you, and he let you respond to him. And look, he took a lot of crap on social media, and he always handled that really well. You know, we've had Wes on the show several times where we were making fun of something he said or did, and he always responded to it really well and handled that and had thick enough skin to be able to have conversations on that front. And that's kind of, you know, it's been, I've seen a lot of people all over social media last night and into this morning basically talking about that, about how that's a skill set that not a lot of people have, of just being able to deal with what we know is a massive and sometimes crazy fan base with Tennessee, and to be able to have the type of personality and skin to deal with everything that comes with that and do it on a day-to-day basis. Like Wes, he did it every day. He interacted with his readers, he interacted with his listeners every day, and, you know, it's the same with us here on the show. Like, he wasn't afraid to have, you know, disagreements and conversations with people and still be friendly at the end of the day. So that part of it, you know, has been pretty universal in terms of the reaction to his passing and people offering their thoughts and their condolences. And again, it's just a horrific situation. I mean, there's no other way to really describe it. It's a horrific situation. And, you know, obviously our thoughts and prayers are specifically with his family during this time, and obviously the people that knew him really well. But just a lot of outpouring of kind of their memories of people rolling in today from Wes Rucker.
Yeah. No, he definitely tweeted a lot.
He did.
And
he did.
No, it is an amazing. He, because I basically stopped engaging on a lot of things on social media, because it's like it's hard to do it and then like not be mean sometimes.
Yes.
and he
could do it.
Somehow he was able to do it. I mean, and he seemed to love it. And you know, a few months ago he had to make a transition, you know, from 24/7 after working there for so long.
Yep.
Which, you know, still boggles my mind, but you know, of course he goes to TV and he was just killing it there, you know, killing it on TV. I mean, it's beyond the personal relationships. I mean, that's, you know, again, it's like, you know, it's hard to not come back to the family, but man, it's such a loss for Vols fans. If you're a Vols fan who didn't regularly read him, I don't know what you were doing. You know, that's one of the first things I found out here too, is, you know, when I got here in 2016, is like, who are you absolutely going to read? Of course, people I worked with, of course, like John Adams, yeah. Right? You know, and things like that. But I mean, like, you read what Wes had after every game or during the week, because it was always interesting. It was always funny, creative, and he just had a great sense for everything, you know. And it's just, I mean, I really hope that you know, I hope there's a seat left open for him.
Yep.
For a long time.
Well, in every sport too, right? Like, it was interesting. That was the other thing last night. It was like, you know, obviously Tennessee football is a huge thing and people love Tennessee football, but there are so many people that like were sharing their stories last night of either a moment that stood out to them that they interacted with Wes, or that they met Wes, or that they read something. Like, a lot of people were talking about, you know, the baseball national championship, or, you know, they met him in a basketball game. Like, it wasn't just the football part of it. Like, he was plugged in and involved with like all the sports up there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think really, I don't, you know, I don't know if I ever asked Wes this, but if he had to make a choice, I think he might have picked basketball or baseball.
Yeah.
You know, he was well versed, and that's the thing. You look around that beat, and a lot of it, for the most part, at all the outlets, it's pretty much split up, you know. You know, Sparks does football, and then Mike does basketball and baseball. And you see the same thing at, you know, VolQuest and 24/7. But Wes was just at everything. And, yeah, you know, people had fun with him. I mean, you know, Mike and Grant Ramey, you know, would sign him up for, like, every possible promotional email, you know, just to load his in. I mean, but, again, he took all that stuff well. He sort of invited it sometimes, yeah. and he took it all in stride.
Yeah, again, there's not really a roadmap for this. It's just it's a horrific situation. Wes Rucker passing away yesterday at the age of 43. Obviously, you know, we're going to get into some sports a little bit later in the show. We do have Casey Alexander that's going to join us at 7:30 from Belmont basketball and a great year that they're having. So looking forward to having him on the show later. We got TD for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock, but there really wasn't another way for us to start the show. I mean, it's just a horrific situation, and we know a lot of you read Wes Rucker, that enjoyed Wes Rucker, and we'll take your thoughts on all that on the text line as well, 615-737-1025. Wes Rucker passing away at the age of 43. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home with the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Again, the passing of Wes Rucker yesterday at the age of 43, passing away in a car accident. And a lot of reaction rolling in on that. I mean, obviously, it's a tough day for Falls fans, tough day for people who read and followed Wes Rucker and who knew Wes Rucker as well. And again, to highlight this point, I mean, the prayers are with his family. That's where kind of it's hard to move past that part of it, is just the family part of this. And there's all sorts of tributes continuing to roll in, both on the text line, on the YouTube chat, and all over social media, is where, I saw Peter Burns tweeting about this. Like, the, you know, obviously, if you've been involved with the SEC, like, you've probably come into contact with Wes Rucker at some point over the last 25 years. But it's going even beyond that. Like, people at ESPN are weighing in. People at NBC I've seen weighing in. There's all sorts of people that, you know, have come. I guess, you know, at the end of the day, Joe, it's the sports media circle is, even though it's gotten bigger, it's still not that big. And if you've been around for as long as Wes has been around, it's a lot of people know Wes Rucker and offering their thoughts today.
Yeah, and look, first of all, there aren't that many people, I don't think, who are on the same beat for 25
yeah.
years. You know, I was on the Michigan State beat. I mean, I guess I was on the Michigan State beat for, if you count student, about that long before I came here. That's a long time. But again, I mean, there are a lot of people who have covered Tennessee for a long time over there. Yep. A lot of people do a great job. But again, Wes, you know, Wes was different in that. I mean, I think it's a great beat in terms of, you know, people talking to each other and generally getting along. You know, every beat's competitive. But Wes was just sort of, you know, the almost like the social director of the press box, you know. He was the one guy you could, I promise you, that more people knew him, more people on the, you know, around the beat, on the fringes, but also from other media coming in, covering other teams, national media, whatever. I mean, he was just a friendly, sociable guy, you know. And I was talking about Mike Wilson and introducing him, like Mike Wilson's wedding, which I guess was what, almost 2 years ago. I mean, I just sat and drank beer with Wes and Lauren all night, you know, and Ben McKee and his wife. And
yep.
Sorry.
No. You're all good.
Thought I'd do better.
Yeah, it's just a really tough day. A really tough day, and again, it's, you know, you just don't expect something like this. And I think you're a reminder of, you know, and I saw people talking about this last night. I saw some Vols fan. Look, we talked about this earlier. You know, Wes had to put up with a lot of crap on Vol Twitter too, and he was always willing to do it. And I saw some Vols fans last night that were basically like, you know what? You know, I gave Wes so much crap over the years, and there's just, you know, a feeling of, you know, I saw some people like, you know, I'm just so regretful for that right now, but he always handled it so well. And, you know, it's social media, right? So it's Twitter, and you sometimes lose sight that there's, you know, an actual other person on the other side of these things. And again, like Wes, it never bothered Wes, or at least it never seemed to. Like, he always just engaged with people, but like it's just the reaction from Tennessee fans. You know, in some ways, like I said, you know, I didn't know. I don't know that I ever actually met Wes in person, but last night I was just like devastated by this because you feel like you know him, right? Like, I think I could speak for a lot of Tennessee fans, like. I've been reading Wes Rucker since I was a kid, right? And like I said, I don't know that I ever actually met him. Matter of fact, I know that I didn't ever actually meet him. But you felt like last night, and you know, in some ways, a member of like your extended family's gone because you've just been familiar with somebody for as long as you have. It's a tribute to him, number one, in the work that he did, but it's also, I think, a tribute of kind of the guy that he was. I felt like I knew him in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he was a friend of the show, too.
For sure, yeah.
When he woke up or when he wasn't, you know, occupied. I was looking through some texts. I do have a few like, oh, man, I'm really sorry about that. You know, well, next time, you know, well, won't happen next time. But we had him on a lot. And
we do have a very early show, by the way.
That is true.
It starts very early.
They are in Eastern time, but yes, we do have an early show. It's just, it's, you know, yeah, I've been texting with some other people on the beat, and it's just like, doesn't seem real, but the way he covered that team. Yeah, I mean it is like if you go to his, I feel like if you go to his mentions on a lot of things, and you know, and he was outspoken politically too, and he wasn't afraid to express those views, and went back and forth, and it's like, but again, went back and forth kindly with people. Okay. Yeah. You know, do your thing, man. But like, even like Vol's opinions, I feel like you could go on any of his many, many tweets and find people just going off on him.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But I did see a lot of that last night, which is like, you know, I gave him a lot of crap, but also like I depended on him, you know? And it's just, if you just take it away from the personal side of things and just coverage of the Vols, I mean, it's, Just that alone, didn't know him, and it's just his coverage. It's a gigantic loss.
Well, and you know, he had I can tell you. Look, we know this, Joe. There's not a lot of Josh Heupel press conferences that are especially noteworthy. Like Heupel doesn't say a whole lot when he gets up in front of the microphone. We've talked about that before. I mean, I do remember a couple instances where he's just like giving it to Wes, and they're going back and forth there. And it's pretty funny, right? Like, but again, that kind of goes to what we've been talking about with Wes. Like, you know, he was not afraid to be on the receiving end of some stuff and always took it in stride and then went back at you, which was a lot of fun there. So, like, I was thinking about that last night, just a couple of playful things from Heupel at a press conference. I think layered in all that, there was a respect for the job that he did, right? Like there was a respect from all the coaches and players that he dealt with of the job that he did on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, no doubt, you know. I don't know if maybe Rick talked yesterday, so I was going to say, yeah, probably the day before the game he probably won't talk today, but yeah, I mean, Wes was in there mixing it up with everybody, and there was a mutual respect. There was also, and to me, this is a credit to Wes. You know, I remember a few years ago, I think some of those guys from that team with Santiago Vescovi and Josiah James, I mean, some of those guys got ticked off at him a few notable times, you know, about questions that frankly were just fair questions, you know, because that team, of course, those teams, did have some issues finishing games and things like that, you know, so I do remember that. And again, he's, you know, it wasn't anything especially contentious, but just Wes, you know, asking the questions that you have to ask too, you know. I mean, he did that kind of the same way. Everything good's going on, same kind of question. something bad's going on. You're just trying to find out, you know, what are the answers? Why? It's what you're trying to do. You're like, why? Why are things going well? Or why are things going poorly? That's really like the kind of the job. It's a lot of the job, you know. I'm trying to find out, get some insight on that, and just not afraid to ask those questions. And, you know, sometimes – now, granted, on Twitter, you know, some people will be like, well, Wes, you know, complaining about the refs, Wes.
That was one of my favorite things. Wes did – he was not afraid to get after the officials, really in any sport. I mean, you know, I saw it certainly like, you know, Tennessee's run through Omaha, some of the umpiring going on. Wes was not a big fan of. Certainly, I think basketball probably the best example, because I do think, like, basketball officials – are probably the easiest to get after.
Yes.
But Wes not afraid to go after the officials, which I always enjoyed, and which you and I shared some text messages about before. There were some hilarious examples of it that were, you know, he was consistent in that. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Well, he, I mean, especially if Pat Adams was working a game. And, I mean, frankly, it's hard to argue
it
with
is.
Some of the criticisms on that front. Got a texter here, says, I'm not a Vols fan. I hadn't read any of his work before, but seeing the reaction from fans and reporters all across the league has been heartbreaking. The way everyone speaks about him says so much about the kind of person he was. It makes me wish I'd known his work sooner. My heart truly goes out to his family. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's – you know, the outpouring, I think, says a lot, you know. And obviously it's shocking and it's just out of nowhere.
Yep.
But it's just like – the next 20 years of Tennessee sports needed to be covered by Wes Rucker.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue to take your reaction to Wes Rucker passing away at the age of 43. We will get into a big Tennessee game coming up this weekend between Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Later in the show as well, take your thoughts on all that. Again, Casey Alexander coming up at 7:30. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The reaction continuing to pour in to the passing of Wes Rucker. Again, we'll take your thoughts on that throughout the show. Like Rob from Clarksville saying, you know, Wes's tweets used to drive me nuts as a Florida fan. He could rile people up as he stood in the paint when they came back at him. I'm devastated as well. Anytime I see a young dad unexpectedly die, it hurts. Prayers for him and his family. A lot of sentiments like that. So we appreciate those. We'll continue to take your thoughts on that throughout the show today. Joe, you know, transitioning. We were talking about this before the show. I don't know how you transition out of this. Like, you just – I guess you just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think it's like – well, I mean, you know, like what Wes is a guy who – man, talk about a guy who worked his ass off and would, you know, at some point you do. You know, there's people out there who have tragedies. There's people who listen to us because they want to get away from things.
Sure.
Because sports is an escape, and I think that we, you know, need to do that for sure. But definitely keep the thoughts coming on Wes. Really appreciate it. And you know, we didn't mention this, but – you know, just read Sparks' story. I wasn't sure, like, if it – but, of course, Wes tweeted about it.
Yeah.
And I need to read the tweet here before we get into the topic here because, you know, it's tragic and obviously, and, you know, Lauren is pregnant. Lauren is giving birth to a baby girl in May.
Yep.
I will read this tweet by Wes. He says, quote, Rucker baby number two is due in May. Hank is going to have a baby sister, and he insists her name will be Optimus Prime Night Ninja Rucker. He has insisted this for weeks, every day, for weeks, end quote. So that tweet sums
up. Sure, that
up.
Name suggestion went over well.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, another one on the way, and it's tough. But keep the thoughts coming, and we'll get to as many as we can.
Yep, absolutely. Keep those coming throughout the show, and we'll certainly, you know, visit your thoughts and get back into Wes Rucker and just the impact he's made on Tennessee sports as the show goes on today. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, it is a big game coming up this weekend between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. We've been talking about it all week, and, you know, it was interesting. You know, Tennessee, I saw some clips from yesterday in the aftermath of their win against Oklahoma, where Rick Barnes is in the locker room, and he's talking about how that was probably the best that they've played all year. And he talks about, you know, how much better they're getting and kind of building, and the air is thinner at the top, baby. Only strong survive and all those things. And Vanderbilt just about came back and beat Missouri the other night on a crazy play from half court that we discussed yesterday. So you got a big-time matchup between Vanderbilt and Tennessee coming up this weekend. Vanderbilt having a great year. Tennessee, like you've mentioned a few times, you know, had you held on to a couple of double-digit leads at halftime against Kentucky, we'd be talking about them being as hot as anybody right now in the SEC. They didn't, so they blew both of those games, but still, on the whole, playing some pretty good basketball. Like, the excitement level, I think, from both fan bases for this game is pretty high. And we had Joey Dwyer on earlier this week, talked about all the, you know, the stuff behind the scenes on the Vanderbilt front of it and what goes into that. But just purely on the court for the matchup this weekend, I am very excited for Vanderbilt and Tennessee coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, first of two. I think the second one is the finale. I mean, obviously, there's not going to be SEC championship stakes here. It really looks like it's just going to be, Florida probably running away with that, with Arkansas losing at Alabama, and then with Vanderbilt losing that game to Missouri.
Yep.
It's probably going to be Florida. The regular season championships still absolutely, you know, matter as weird as everything is with these massive leagues. But one of the first things I think of is obviously, like, who's guarding Nate Ament for Vanderbilt, because he's just such a tough cover. It'll be interesting. I think they'll probably throw multiple people at him. And then on the other side, just really the point guard battle is a great one. Gillespie, quietly, you know, really one of the top scorers in the league. He had 8 steals the other night, so he's doing things defensively. Staying in front of Tyler Tanner is a chore. So and then on the other side, you know, Jacoby's a little more physical, and obviously Tennessee does a lot to get him shots. He's kind of a lead guard a little more than, like, you know, a traditional point guard. But then again, Tanner also is a guy who his shooting is so important to Vanderbilt, so that should be huge. The Duke Miles,
yep,
health question is big, and I don't know. You know, I think, well, there's gonna be an availability report that comes out today. So we'll see. I mean, maybe it'll be up. He's been out, obviously, for a while. Maybe it'll be upgraded to, like, questionable. You know, I don't know. Or maybe we'll find out he's playing for sure. The NCAA is they're doing the mock selections again, which is pretty awesome. I did one of those 11 years ago in Indy. But our CJ Moore and a bunch of people were there. And so this is the media. So it doesn't mean that the committee would – you know, come up with the same conclusions. But, I mean, they dig in deep on everything. So they have both of them as 5 seeds now.
Okay.
Vanderbilt is a 5 seed in the West. Tennessee is a 5 seed in the South, paired up. Vanderbilt would be paired up with 4 seed Michigan State. Tennessee with 4 seed Virginia. So that's kind of the state of things. They've kind of evened up. Tennessee has brought it, you know, because Vanderbilt was a 2. And Tennessee was more like maybe like 6-7.
Yep.
Not long ago, and so they're both pushing to be top 4 seeds, which is what you want to be.
Well, 5 games left for both of them, right? So you got they play each other twice during that span, so obviously those games are huge. On the Tennessee front, they've also got Alabama in there at home coming up a week from tomorrow. And on the Vanderbilt front, you've got a trip to Kentucky coming up a week from tomorrow. So 5 games, including 2 of them against each other, where you've got pretty massive stakes involved there. Like you said, I mean, the SEC regular season part of this looks like it's going to go Florida's way. But, like, if you're either one of these teams and you can win both of them, like, you know, I think if I had to guess right now, Joe, the most likely outcome here would be that Tennessee and Vanderbilt probably split these 2 matchups. I mean, that would be what I would guess would happen. But if you're Tennessee and you can beat Vanderbilt twice, or if you're Vanderbilt and you could beat Tennessee twice, that would be 2 very impressive wins to add to your resume down the stretch here, where maybe some mobility to move up with those seedings.
Right. Yeah, those would be 2. I mean, if you want to get into you know, if you want to get into the quads, which you need to look at the net for that, you know, obviously both, I mean, either winning it on the road is a huge win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. But yeah, I mean, it's a quad one win at home too. That's top 25 in the net. So you're talking about if one of these two teams can get two quad one wins at the expense of the other not getting one, then, you know, I don't think there's any question that team, first of all, I think would move into more in the four seed territory, maybe even pushing to be a three. Tennessee also has, at Missouri, I mean, that's a team yep. right now that would be in the field, and they have Bama at home. They have owned Alabama in the Nate Oates era. But doesn't mean Alabama can't come in at any point and hit 15 threes on you and, you know.
They could have another NBA player on their roster by then. You never know.
Well, that is true. There is that possibility. You know, Vanderbilt looking at, along with this, Georgia, that's an NCAA team, and going to Kentucky. And Kentucky is probably going to want a little retribution for the 25-point loss at Vanderbilt. But so it's a lot of opportunity for both to really strengthen the resume before they come to Nashville. And it's also, you know, like, it's not easy. I mean, so, but this one, you know, should be really good. And obviously the Jalen Carey factor will be interesting to see. Like, how chippy is it going to be with Jalen Carey?
Oh, yeah. That's going to be very interesting to see. I think Joey Dwyer said earlier this week it could be as loud as Memorial has ever been. So we'll see what happens on that front. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman to the program. Kenny, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hello. I'm calling today. I was listening. You know, a lot of times we talk about sports scores and this and that, but really I'm calling today as a friend. That's how much y'all mean to me. Y'all are more than just a voice on the radio. And listening today, I can really tell what this gentleman has meant to y'all, and I'm so glad you did not hide the fact that you're vulnerable and this is really, really bothering you, because you know what? That's what life is about. When you show how much someone cared to you like that, that meant his life meant something and that he had impact on people. And we'll forget a lot of the scores and the numbers, but it is important to remember people's smiles, the things they've done for people and the family that he has and that he was going to have. And people will just come around, you know, and be there for them. But I just want to, you know, remind people, all we have is this day. So be kind to people. You know, a lot of times we just say stuff off the cuff. And I just wanted to let you know, people appreciate y'all for more than just being a voice on the radio. Y'all are good friends.
Thank
We're
you,
there
Kenny.
For you today, good friends. Goodbye.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thanks so much,
very
Kenny.
Much appreciate that.
Very, very kind words.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the passing of Wes Rucker. Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up this weekend in a big game. We'll have more of your thoughts on that as well. And, again, just really appreciate all the kind words from Kenny and from everybody weighing in so far today. We'll have more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt in Tennessee coming up in a big one tomorrow. Taking your thoughts on that. Now, Mark Byington and Vanderbilt did beat Tennessee once last year. They split last year, so I think it was 76-75. Yes, 76-75. The final last year for Vanderbilt at home against Tennessee in a big win. They played at Tennessee later in the year and lost 81-76. So a couple of really good games last year between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Obviously, Vanderbilt has taken that next step so far this year. Tennessee is what they've been under Rick Barnes, which is very, very competitive, and we'll see what happens come tournament time. If Vanderbilt can get another win, if they can beat Tennessee again tomorrow, how big a deal is that for Mark Byington and this program as he's continuing to try to build this thing here in year number two?
Yeah, it's definitely a big deal. It's a measuring stick. I mean, that's what it is. And it always is the case to some extent in an in-state rivalry. But like we've talked about this week with comparing the two sides, the two schools with their basketball programs, which, by the way, real quick aside, ooh, that's a tough one last night for Kim Caldwell at home against Texas A&M, a 10-11 Texas A&M team.
Not trending well.
No, it's not trending well. But as you pointed out, you know, this week, the standard bearer there is Tennessee men's basketball. So yeah, it's a huge deal. And even though Vanderbilt has been ranked higher most of the year and has had this big year, it's still, you know, like, again, first of all, they're pretty much in the same spot now. Vanderbilt's come down a little bit. Tennessee has continued to get better and better. And so, I mean, if you looked at these two teams and you just graded the talent, I think Tennessee is a more talented team. I mean, Nate Amen is going to go. Now, you know, Tanner, a lot of people think Tanner's a first-round pick too.
Yep.
But Nate Amen and, you know, some of those other guys, I'd say they're a little bit more talented team. But it's a big deal. It's a little different now than, you know, it used to be where it's all about high school recruiting. So it's like a game like this, you know, there's going to be some kids in the state or even regionally where they're both recruiting them and, you know, you demonstrate that you can beat Tennessee. I mean, now it is different, obviously, right? Like, a lot of roster building is veterans from other teams in the offseason. But there are still recruiting battles that are going to happen between Vanderbilt and Tennessee with in-state kids moving forward. So I think it's always important to be able to win this game.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Zach to the program. Zach, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. What's going on, man? I wanted to say, you know, prayers out to Wes. Listen to that, man. That was awesome. But I wanted to just chime in on Vandy, man. Big fan. Tell me if I'm wrong. At the beginning of the year, obviously, everybody, the bench being pretty stretched out. You love seeing guys get in, you know, the portal guys doing a lot. And then the three that stayed, obviously, they're still the key right now. But, I mean, I don't want to hop too bad on the Frankie Collins stuff. But it is frustrating, you know, having Byington be really professional and just say, hey, we had an investment. We want to see the investment, you know, paying out, and then him not show up to any more games. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. I'll be wrong, but I'll get off and I'll listen. But I just want to tell you guys, thank y'all. Love the show, and love you, Robbie. Love you, man.
Thanks,
see you guys.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Frankie Collins thing is we talked about that earlier in the week. It's an interesting situation that they got going on there. We'll see what ends up happening on all the injury fronts for Vanderbilt. Like that's what I would love to see, Joe, is if they could somehow here get completely healthy, how dangerous could they be by the time, you know, SEC tournament and certainly NCAA tournament comes around here. That's what I'm hoping to see down the stretch here.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. I mean, I think for sure it's trending to Duke Miles going to get a few games in, you know, before we get to the SEC tournament. And I think it should look pretty good. I mean, it's just with those two guards able to play off each other, it just makes a difference. He's a total pest. I think he's, you know, up there in the SEC in steals defensively too. He can get you a bucket. He can create for others, and it's you give Tyler Tanner a little bit of a break here and there, you know, just to be able to play off each other like that. As far as Frankie Collins, you know, one thing to remember, you know, as Joey Dwyer pointed out in the context, at some point in this whole process, he came back and he practiced. And if it was just going to be one of those, you know, I think I'm just going to shut it down, then why would you do that?
Right.
Apparently he had a setback. He also tweeted out some picture of something this week that suggested that there's some positive development with his knee. So, you know, I'm keeping an open mind on that thing. Clearly, just like the way Byington answers about him as opposed to answering about Miles, I mean, it's different, you know. So I think there's clearly some frustration on the side of Vanderbilt, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a done deal, forget about it, and that he just made this decision to do that. So maybe – you know, they get him back, and it's another bonus. If they get Duke Miles back, and he's full Duke Miles of what he was earlier in the year, then they're okay. They're fine. Yes, you'd like to have a little more depth, but that's the big one.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in David in Portland to the program. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing good.
So, first off, I'm going to say, you know, thoughts and prayers to Wes Rucker's family, you know, Lauren and Hank and their unborn child, and I hope that, you know, Knoxville and Ball Twitter sets up a GoFundMe for the family. I know they will, you know, the same way they did for Zakai. You know, different situation. But anyways, regarding the game, I was at the game last year at Thompson Bowling Arena, and let me just say I am glad that we are on this end of the Jalen Carey experience, because I watched him and Zakai Zeiler go at it, you know, and I was like, you know, man, I wish somebody like that was on, you know, my team. So let's just say I'm glad that I'm on this side of the Jalen Carey experience this year.
Yeah, thanks for the call, David. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes tomorrow. Like, from him, from his perspective, you know, we talked about this earlier this week. I guess when there's going to be an intensity level that you're walking into that's that high, it could go one of two ways. I mean, either you thrive in an environment like that, or you allow it to become too much, and it basically just kind of stifles you out there. It's going to be interesting to see how he responds to that tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be. And, you know, sometimes things like this, someone says something, fans are all over someone, but he's still, you know, still friends with, like, his former teammates. Right. I don't know. Like, I don't know how much animosity there is actually player to player. I know that, you know, with Byington, you know, and Joey Dwyer, who we had on the show, wrote a good piece at SI.com about, you know, sort of the background, which is that Byington kind of went to see him when people – weren't big on him as a prospect, kind of gave him the first opportunity. Then, you know, obviously, you know, James Madison comes here and he goes there, and he's, you know, the quote last year was, "We don't like Orange," you know, and they beat him and he has a really good game. And then this summer he says about Vanderbilt, quote, "That other school, I don't like that place. I love this place. Can't wait to do big things in the Big Orange." But it's like, well, you don't like that place. So there's probably you know, more to the story, or it was just someone just popping off, you know.
Yeah, how much that is playing to your new fan base or whatever.
Yeah, maybe it's as simple as that, you know. So, again, that'll be interesting. I mean, even if he has good relationships with these guys, you know, it's going to be a competitive situation. I think to the other night when Auburn goes into Mississippi State, Keyshawn Murphy had been Mississippi State center, and Josh Hubbard goes absolutely nuts, 49, 35 in the first half, and then he's screaming, "Don't leave Mississippi State," right, as he's standing right next to Keyshawn Murphy at the foul line. Yeah, holding the logo, like screaming basically in his ear. So that tells you right there. Because, you know, we always think about schools and coaches and fans being upset when players leave. I mean, sometimes other players are like, "You screwed us over." I mean, like, if we had you still – think of what our team could be. That's certainly the case with, like, Keyshawn Murphy at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not as much the case here with Jalen Carey, but he would have been, yeah, he would have been a key player for Vanderbilt just as he is for Tennessee.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A conversation that we brought up with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports yesterday that we will get back into coming up next regarding NFL owners and the approach that's going on with what they're trying to get done overseas. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.